Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are delighted to have Richard Ben Kramer back with us. You talk about the narrative that you tell in How Israel Lost is as if it is night and day. It's just dramatically different from a narrative that we've heard really since 1948.
Well, it is different. You know, the story that we all learned of Israel and the story that Hollywood drove home in the movie Exodus and the story that has been really Israel's lifeline is not really a story that's untrue in some. I mean, there was a people, they never forgot this ancestral home. They longed for it and prayed for it.
Next year in Jerusalem for 2,000 years.
Exactly right. And that was said at my Seder table as I was growing up in Rochester, New York.
52 weeks a year.
That's right. It was, you know, it's a longing that never went away. And one that I understand, and I think every human being can understand. But what the Zionist story, the Israel story, left out was that the Palestinians have exactly the same longing and exactly the same affiliation to that homeland. They've lived there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
And got along with the Jews.
Yes, for hundreds of years under the Turks, they lived together there in if not in perfect harmony, at least in very calm coexistence. You know, one of the hopeful things about this book, Paul, is that I don't think there has to be enmity between the Palestinians and the Jews. There was never a kind of ethnic bloodletting before. There was never a kind of religious war between, you know, as the phrase goes now, a clash of civilizations.
Which is what we're told.
Yes, we are often told, but that's not really what the conflict is. You know, what happened is actually very simple and is a set of facts that cannot be denied. There was a piece of land, and it was called Palestine. Its borders are clearly marked. There's no argument about it. The British ran it from World War I and until after World War II. And when the Jews declared their homeland, declared the existence of the State of Israel, and a war broke out when the surrounding Arab countries invaded. At the end of that war, 78% of the land was under the control of the Jewish state.
This is 1948.
That was 1949, actually, when the armistice was declared, and the lines were drawn on the maps at that point, basically where the last soldier stopped firing. So you had a very strangely shaped little country that hugged the coast of the Mediterranean on the eastern side. And that was called Israel, and it had most of the land that used to be called Palestine. And on the rest of that land, the land that the Jews could not control or could not win in time for the ceasefire, you had the old Arab population that had fled from all parts of the rest of the country to this land that the Arabs still controlled, and that was run mostly by Jordan. The West Bank lands were run by the King of Jordan. And the Gaza Strip, which was another strip of Arab land unconquered, was run by the Egyptians. And then in 1967, when the next war broke out, the Israelis took all the land. And for 35 years, they've held it in occupation. And while the world insisted it could not become more of Israel, and while the U.S. also insisted. And the Jews have never been able to give up that land. They've never quite decided what they wanted to do with it. Their settlers moved on to it, and the government helped the settlers. But meanwhile, they denied that they were making it part of the country. The Americans said that they wanted that land returned, and yet they helped Israel while the settlements grew. So it's been a kind of there's been a falseness to the story all the way along. Nobody has quite said what's really going on. And what's really going on is that the Israelis have systematically tried to break up the society of Arab people who lived on that land and tried to loosen the hold of the Palestinians on their own land. It's been a very brutal and difficult and murderous tale. And what this book is really about, and the story that I'm trying to tell, is what happened to Israel by being the occupier. You know, it has changed that country absolutely. And by accident of my life, from being a correspondent there 25 years ago.
A Pulitzer Prize winning correspondent.
You're nice to say so. Only you and my mama remember.
But it's important to say, it's not like you just sort of arrived and took a tour. You really know this place.
No, I knew the place.
And you didn't sit in the library and, you know, read books.
No, I was all, you know, Bill, it's the greatest place in the world to be a reporter. You're all over the streets. Everybody in the place is articulate, Arab and Jew.
And talk is the national sport.
Nonstop. And they know every language in the world. You know, if they don't know English, they know some other language, you know.
And they're absolutely certain about whatever it is they're asserting.
That's quite correct. They live and die by these opinions, and I do mean live and die.
All of them.
And you can get anywhere in the whole country in 2 hours, so it doesn't matter where. It's just the most fabulous place to be a reporter in the world.
Well, and you kind of fell in love with the country, too.
I do. I do love the country, and I love the people and their stories. But it's always been problematic, because when you write the Arab stories on the same basis that you write the Israeli-Jewish stories for an American audience, you're regarded as some kind of seditious, enemy of Israel or anti-Semite. You know, when I first started writing for the newspaper, my editors very kindly didn't tell me about all the stink I was causing. It wasn't that I had any axe to grind, but I thought that these Arab people's stories were just fabulous also, you know.
I had the sense with How Israel Lost that this could only be written by an American Jew.
I think that's right. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but American Jews have long had a very hands-off kind of attitude about Israel. We were told long ago that we don't live there, we don't fight in their army, so we should just shut up and send money.
Yeah, but that's not the general perception.
Well, American Jews are very important to Israel. Without American Jews, I don't think Israel would have flourished. But despite this stricture that American Jews are just supposed to, let the Israelis do as they do, I've never been shy about saying what I think about the place, because I think it's American Jews who really are going to have to help them save their country. I think this occupation is ruining Israel. I think it has coarsened the society. I think it has undermined the political life of the country. It has certainly corrupted the country in a very literal sense. And it's really American Jews who are going to have to do something for them.
You lay out three options, and you sort of went past it. One is to withdraw from the occupied territories.
Right.
The second, is to essentially eliminate the problem, that is the Palestinians. And the third is to establish what you characterize as an apartheid state.
Well, those were the only three choices facing Israel when she decided to hang on to the land.
Right.
Let's explore this in just a minute, because obviously you guys are headed someplace thick and deep, and it'll take more than the next 60 seconds to do it. Richard Ben Kramer has graced us with his presence here on the Paula Gordon Show. He is speaking at the moment with Bill Russell. All of us will return in a moment. We hope you will be with us.